it's kind of enjoyable, at least for me, to sing a couple of traditional hymns. So that was, I tried to do my harmony with that, but it didn't work the best. I'm glad I don't have a mic in front of my mouth. So thank you, Jonah and Allie, for leading us in music and worship. I like the book of Philippians, and sometime I'll probably just make a note to myself just to read it through, because that's the way they were always written or read originally. You just read through the whole thing all at once. But now we look at just very specific parts. Today, it's just a little more complicated. I'm going to ask you to imagine arrows going from one person or one party to another, and from that person to another person, from that person to another person. It's like going to a family reunion and saying, who's that? Well, that's your second cousin twice removed, you know, that kind of thing. Oh, you know, how are everything related here, okay? And I think you're up to just kind of following with this. But I'd like to read the passage first and then look more carefully at it. Philippians 2, verses 19 through 30. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare, for everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because he is a son with his father. He, as a son with his father, has served me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me, and I'm confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. So then welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. Okay, today as we look at this passage, the theme that's before us is Christian altruism. Could you say that with me? Christian altruism. Altruism means that you're doing something for somebody else or some group of people. You're doing something, you're giving of something without expecting anything back. If I take you out for ice cream and I'll say, well, I'll take care of it this time. What does that mean? Next time you take care of it, you buy my ice cream. That's not altruism, because I'm expecting some ice cream back from you, all right? Now, an example of true altruism that we've experienced when we were going to school in Jackson, Mississippi, we were literally as poor as church mice, and we had $13 before Barb would get her next paycheck from Heinz General Hospital. $13 for food. Okay, we got some canned goods in the cupboard. I think we can make it work. The next day, we found on our doorstep two grocery bags full of groceries. No idea how anybody knew about our need, didn't have a clue who that was, and they left no hint of who that was. We couldn't even send them a thank you note. That's altruism. Giving, expecting nothing back. There is a debate, however, whether there is such a thing as genuine altruism. If you're an evolutionist, most evolutionists that I've heard of have said, no, there's no such thing as altruism, because we may be giving, but somehow it helps our species in the long run to do that kind of thing. Everything is for the development of our species. And some would say, well, even that, whoever gave us those groceries, they must have felt good about giving. Ooh, getting something back, feeling good. Question is there really such a thing as true altruism? Yes, there is. And there is such a thing as Christian altruism. In other words, you can be an altruist, I think there's a such a word. And it can be distinctively Christian, different from any other kind of altruism. That's what we're going to be looking at this morning. Okay, now what we're going to be seeing here is a number of arrows, and just keep this slide up here for a little bit, and I'll tell you when to go to the next one. here's where we start the arrows, or where people are kind of helping others out, okay? We start out with the church at Philippi, the Philippians, the congregation there. And they probably took up regular offerings, maybe had boxes in the back like we do here, okay? And only they were going to give some money for Paul, I think in the outline. Yeah, okay. They have money. They give money to Paul because he needs some living expenses, even though he's imprisoned. The Roman government gives very little of anything to their prisoners. And so Paul has to take care of his basic toiletry needs, his basic, even some food and so on. So they send some money to him. All right, there's the arrow, Philippians to Paul. They're going to help him out. Okay, but now, how are they going to get that to him? There's no such thing as direct deposits in your bank account then. There's no such thing as Venmo. The only way to do it is to gather all the money, the hard, cold cash, and give it to somebody. They take it on the ship, go to another country, walk through the streets, which aren't always safe, and bring the money directly to Paul. Not very secure, makes me nervous. But that's what they're going to do. And who'd they give the money to deliver the money? His name, I don't know the last time you've said it, Epaphroditus. Okay, Epaphroditus. Now, Paul references that in verse 25. Now we can go to the next slide, verse 25. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, fellow soldier, who was also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. Okay, here's the arrow. Philippians to Paul, but also Epaphroditus for Paul. He arrives and brings the money, and this isn't a vacation for him. He is having to work, sending messages for Paul, helping buy things for him, taking care of him, just being there of support, giving, 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 helping out. There is another arrow, Epaphroditus, caring for Paul. Okay, so there, excuse me a minute. All right, now something developed. And that's the next slide, verses 26 and 27. Obviously, he had gotten sick. Not sure what kind of bug he got, but he got close to dying. And what we see indicated here is that the Philippians heard about that, and now here's the arrow to them, from Philippians to Epaphroditus. What? Are you okay? Are you okay? It's kind of like somebody coming in here who's fallen recently, and all of a sudden, people come around you and say, how are you doing? How are you doing? How are you doing? Okay. Philippians. Epaphroditus, are you okay? Are you okay? Can we do something for you? All right. Epaphroditus recovers, and then he gets better, and that's why the next two verses, verses 28 and 29, Paul says, okay, out of concern for you, here's Paul showing concern for the Philippians, I'm going to send Epaphroditus back to you so that you don't have to worry about him. You're going to see him. He's okay. He's walking okay. He's doing fine. That's Paul showing concern for the Philippians, and that's Epaphroditus saying, I'm so worried about them worrying about me. Wow, a lot of people just concerned and worried about each other. And Epaphroditus is going to come, and he's going to say, you don't have to worry anymore. And then what Paul does is tell them, in these verses 20, I want you to honor him. Just show something. Show your thanks. I don't know if they did thank you notes in those days, but some of you are note writers. You write thank you notes. Maybe you just say thank you for what you did. Maybe they have a special celebration. Come up here, Epaphroditus. We want to thank you, and everybody applaud, and so on and so on. Somehow honor him, showing that they really, really appreciate what he did. Okay, now, why honor him? Next verse, verse 30. Because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give to me. Why? Why honor him? Because of this central virtue of caring, of giving. Have you ever gone that far in giving? Where you've almost felt like you've come to the end? You can't do anymore? That's what literally happened to Epaphroditus. He came to breathing his last breath because he wanted to give so much for Paul. He wanted to do it on behalf of the Philippians. This is what happened. The central virtue of truly caring. Okay. Lots of arrows here. Philippians caring for Paul. Epaphroditus caring for Paul. Philippians caring for Epaphroditus because he got sick. Epaphroditus concerned about them because they're worried about him. Paul is concerned about the Philippians and sent. Okay. I wonder, are you bored with all the arrows here? Let me give you another one that's in the whole mix here. This is where in verses, verse 19 and verse 23, Paul says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I may be cheered when I receive news about you. Verse 23, I hope to send him as soon as I see how things are going with me. this is where Paul is sending Timothy because what has Timothy been doing? He's his associate, probably writing Philippians, actually doing the writing while Paul dictates. And Timothy has been helping Paul. Timothy wants to cheer up the Philippians. And Paul says, Timothy, he's going to be the one that sends you my good news, that I won't need to be executed. And Philippians, you can just... Timothy will send news concerning you Philippians back to me. Everything's going well at the church. Oh, this is getting complicated for me. I have to look at my notes a little more here. Okay. One more arrow. I hope it's just one more. All right. This is where by the way, when you're sending money to someone and you're sending news to someone, do you know how long it took? Today, if you fall and you go to the emergency room or urgent care, you can get your phone out, take your pictures, send it to people within minutes, okay? They can all instantly. Took weeks or months there to get the news. It took a long time. And Paul says, here's one more, verse 24. Verse 24, and I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon too. I'll be able to come. I'll be able to express my love to you. You can express your love for me. There's the strong arrow between each other. All people caring. Here's the central virtue. Let's go over to verse 20 again. Verse 20 to 22. This is where Paul says, I have no one else like him, that's Timothy, who has shown genuine concern for your welfare. And I grew up on the farm. And on the farm, on the gravel roads, there's no such things as stop signs. So we went to the big town of Edgerton, Minnesota for groceries. And if you've ever been in Edgerton, you go through there and you blink your eyes and you're through the town. And there, we come to an intersection, you actually have to stop. There's a four-way stop. You ever been to a four-way stop? And okay, here's the Philippians. I can imagine a Philippian coming to a four-way stop, and they're very caring people, yielding, giving. Here you have Paul giving of himself for the Philippians, for others. Here's Epaphroditus at the four-way stop. He's such a giving, kind person. And here's Timothy, spends his whole life doing it. All come to the four-way stop at the same time. Guess what happens? Who's going to be the first one to go? Not me. You go. No, you go. No, you go. No, you go. One person will inch forward, and another person, oh, no, you go, you go. All right. This is the nature of people just continually giving and caring for other people. All right. That's what happens if you're a Christian. Now, I'm going to be looking at something a little more in this passage, which is very important. But now I want to push the pause button before looking more at this passage. I want to look at the pause button because historically, what happened in the early church had an effect through the history of the Christian church. And let me tell you the blank so that we don't have to be distracted by that. Historically, the church has provided benevolence, caring for others. In the early church, there were societies that got set up, patterned after Epaphroditus, in honor of Epaphroditus. They called themselves the risk takers, the risk takers. What they would do in their small group in the church is, and here I wrote down a list of the things, they help sick people. Somebody gets sick, make sure they have food. They would visit and help out prisoners. Unheard of in ancient Rome. Also, they rescued abandoned babies. In ancient Rome, if you as a father were looking for a son, the next baby born was a girl, he could say, take her out to the hills, leave her to the wild animals. That was a common practice. The risk takers, named after Epaphroditus, would go out and rescue the babies. The martyrs that were killed for their faith, instead of having the body disposed in the sewer system, they go and take the body and give it a proper burial. This is the effect Epaphroditus and others had, where the early church was a caring church and other people noticed. Through the ages, this is what has happened. It's only been in the last 100 years or even less that hospitals have been established by government agencies or by universities. But for centuries, who took care of the hospitals? Who set them up? The church did. That was what the church did, set up hospitals, taking care of sick people. During the Reformation in Geneva, the deacons got together and they said, we're going to help out the poor in the city. No such thing as welfare then. The church stepped in and helped the poor and did something that nobody else had ever done. The transients, the migrants, the immigrants coming through the city, will help them too. Unheard of before. That was the effect of caring within the church. It's Christians getting together to organize the Red Cross, the Salvation Army, nursing homes used to be just the province of Christians. The church built nursing homes, institutions to help those with handicaps, helping mothers with unplanned, difficult pregnancies, etc., etc., etc. Characteristic of Christians is help, 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 be caring. Well, here I come a month ago or so to Connections, and I'm getting familiar with Connections. Connections with church as an institution, as an organization, but also individuals. And I start making a list of the kinds of things that are being done to help. And you want to go to that list now? that list I have here, where there's such a thing called Volunteers in Action. This is where churches of the Denver area unite to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the community. Jesus on Colfax. I'm not familiar with that, but I guess that's to assist poor and homeless people in the Colfax area of Denver. We help, this is kind of small print here. Hope you're able to read it. That third line, don't ask me to say that name, okay? but it's ministering in the Apache Nation in Dulce, New Mexico. And also other schools in this area, helping out at Sandy Creek, the Platte River Academy especially. Faith on Wheels. There's a group of people that if you're poor and you need help with your car, they'll help you out. There's PCD counseling. There's somebody on site here that provide counseling. There's a benevolence fund of our church. There's a rack out there where Joel and Jeannie Heiser, I saw their picture. And Barb and I just love Joel and Jeannie Heiser. They're doing a lot to help people. We support them. Youth for Christ, we've helped out with. Garden Ministry Person. This is just a sampling. I know that there's a lot more going on here in Connections. Where does that come from? It comes from the Spirit of God making us caring people. And that's shown in this passage. I've had the privilege over the years to teach a lot of high school classes, teaching them Bible, teaching them about the the faith and so on. Almost every year, I ask them this question. Who in your life has had a big impact on you, besides family? Who's had a big impact on you? And I've noticed something over the years. I don't recall anybody ever saying, somebody who was really successful and rich showed me how to become successful and rich. Never mentioned somebody like that. Somebody who did advanced in their career and said, this is how you can advance in your career. Nothing like that. Who did they mention? Somebody that was kind, took an interest in them, encouraged them, and just helped them through a hard time sometimes. Somebody who cared. And I told them, someday, somebody else is going to be asked that question, and they're going to mention your name. What kind of person are you called to be? Not your biggest impact won't be to be the super successful person and have an impact on this world. You might have an impact, but not nearly as much as being a caring person, encouraging. By the way, what does that look like in your life? How is the Holy Spirit using you? Okay, I'm going to push the unpause button, okay? We're going to go back to our passage. But before we do that next slide, let me tell you something I noticed when I was translating this from the original Greek. There's a phrase that popped up a few times. I translated verse 19, I hope in the Lord Jesus. Well, that's easy to translate, but what does that mean? I hope in the Lord to send Timothy to you. Verse 24, let's see, I'm confident in the Lord, that I will come to you soon. Okay, why is that there? Verse 29, welcome him, that is Epaphroditus, in the Lord with great joy. What does that mean? That could mean, well, it means obviously that somehow we're all connected with Jesus. There's the blank in the outline. We're in union with Jesus. Okay? So what does that mean? It means that he gives us the strength, but it also means, and now we can go to the next slide, and this is verse 21. For everyone looks out for your own interests, but not those of Jesus Christ. Okay. Paul says, I'm going to send Timothy to you. He's a very concerned person. He's concerned with helping me. He's concerned with helping you. But then he says about Timothy and all those who are caring that they're not looking to their own interests, but to the interests. They're not looking to the interests of others now. They're looking to the interests of Jesus Christ. They're doing it for him. That's why they're caring. Because they belong to Jesus. They know him. They love him. And it's all for him. This is the heart of Christian altruism. Jesus is the reason we care. He's the one that motivates us. He's the one that gives us the ability to care. He's the one that gives us the wisdom to do it. And we do it all to honor him. That is true Christian altruism. If I were to take a poll right now or ask what you think, who in our home is more caring, me or Barb? Please don't say it, because you all know what the answer is. Barb is. Let me show you how that shows up. Showed up this past week. Leaving the grocery store. Go to the stoplight. And the light is red, of course. But then there's a couple people right along the side carrying a sign. Anything that you can give would be helpful. What am I doing? I'm looking at this stoplight and saying, come on, turn green, so I can quick leave. What is Barb doing? Scrambling through the car, looking for something to give them. And if we can't give them anything, get the cash out and give them. I say, Barb, my approach is, that's not necessarily good because they're going to use it for something that's not so good, drugs or something like that. Okay. Let me ask you, where's your limit of caring and giving? I've been on a number of boards throughout the years, church boards, denominational boards, college, university boards. Those in the advancement office raising funds, they talk about donor fatigue, a real phenomenon where you have very, very strong givers to the institution, but after a while they get tired. Donor fatigue. So those in the advancement office say, okay, we have to be careful. Don't ask for donations too often. And if you do so, do it from a fresh angle. Keep the vision before them, and so on and so on. There's a limit to what people will give. Another area, social work. Social work is notorious for the high burnout rates. These young people going through college, getting not just a bachelor's degree, but a master's degree in social work, because I'm going to change the world. I'm going to help these people who need help, and I'm going to invest myself in them. And after a few years, they've given and given and given. And they don't see much result for their work. They burn out. I wonder how many here are right now giving and giving to your family. It might be for needy parents who need you and are drawing on you. It may be a needy spouse. It may be needy children. Is it getting me too much? And if you haven't reached that end of fatigue yet, of giving, give yourself a couple months, come Thanksgiving and Christmas. See how much mail you give and how much people you'll be hounded to give to these causes. And do you know what's scarier yet? Not only to see the limit of what you're caring and giving, but you look inside. And you see a person that's becoming more cold and callous. You're more concerned about the stupid red light than you are the people standing there right in front of you. That's scary. That I see myself becoming a cold, calloused person. I can't give anymore. God has this passage here. Not just to see a whole bunch of people giving to each other so that we can try to fit all the arrows of giving to each other and caring for each other. But he's saying, you do that in my Son, in the Lord, giving to the Lord Jesus. And he's saying to us, before you give any more, you just come to my Son Jesus. And you open your heart to him, and maybe you need to confess your cold, calculating, calloused heart and ask for forgiveness And then you plead with Jesus, who gave himself beyond what we can ever give. Lord, can you share your giving spirit with me? I can't produce caring and giving on my own. I need you to fill me with your spirit to be a wise, caring, giving person. And when I'm giving and caring, I want to do it all for you. That is Christian altruism. We do it in the Lord. Let us pray. And that truly is our prayer, that you would cleanse us of all selfishness, cold calculation, looking down on others. We pray that you will cleanse us of that. We pray that you will give us that impulsive desire to be giving and helping in a wise, good way. And we pray that you would be honored through this all. In your name we pray. Amen.